Recording not live from League Safe's world headquarters. This is Fantasy Football Almost Daily with your hosts, Paul Charchian, Christian Peterson, Matt Harrison, and Brian Johnson.
It is Tuesday. Welcome to a free agent edition of Fantasy Football Almost Weekly. I am Paul Charchian, my co-host, Brian.
Whoa, almost weekly?
Almost daily. Which is a combination of Fantasy Football Day.
It's not summertime yet.
No. That is summertime, isn't it? Wow. Matt Harrison.
I've been waiting for you to say Fantasy Football Almost Daily on the radio show for two or 3 years, and you haven't done it yet.
I haven't yet. That's amazing.
And
I haven't called
7 a.m. shows.
Better knock on wood.
I'm tired. I haven't called it Video Games Weekly either, not in a long time. I have made that blunder a few times, though. It's Tuesday. We're talking free agents, and most of the past, I don't know, month or so, we've been like, that's a terrible week for free agents. Go save your money. Not this week. Tons of guys to talk about. Lots of excitement. I'm going to save the quarterbacks for last because it's the least interesting position out of the whole group. Tons of running backs to talk about. I want to start here because I think the most interesting story is Alfred Morris on rolling the dice on what may or may not happen with Ezekiel Elliott. You know, we can't know for sure how the wheels of justice at the NFL may turn. But we know he's already been cleared by his local police. His agent put out a release saying, we provided mounds of data that showed that this was all BS. The police looked into it. There was no case to be had. But the NFL does not need to have any corroboration with actual police before they make their own decision. And they're under great scrutiny after screwing up the Josh Brown thing.
They're their own law enforcement agency, really.
They are. They answer to nobody.
And it's not widely known that Zeke could be suspended. I posted the article, and some guy on Twitter is like, what are you talking about, Zeke suspension? I'm like, well, here's the link. And he's like, oh. So
that's what this link is? I think this is a link to the sex toy that you put in this article.
No, I removed that.
Oh, okay. All right, good.
For your request.
Yeah, thank you.
The Bildo?
The Bildo. I think everybody already knows all about the Bildo. It's everywhere.
I don't know. Everybody?
I think everybody.
All right.
Yeah. We'll see. Everybody who wants to know about Bildos knows about Bildos.
Did your mom know about it? When she was in town?
Didn't Alfred Morris's ownership, I think at the time of the drafts, I think his ownership was probably 80-90%. But over the course of half a season, bye weeks, he's been dropped in most leagues.
Yeah, even so people now, that Alfred own Morris Zeke is available. Probably dropping him.
Yeah, I've got Zeke in one league, and I'm not unhandcuffing those two. So, it's so dangerous. Yeah. So let me ask you this. If you're a Zeke owner, how much are you paying for Alfred Morris right now? And then we'll do the non-Zeke owners.
50%.
50%. I think that's about right.
Yeah. Just if he is suspended, I mean, Alf is 100% for everyone. So if you're the Zeke owner, man, 60%. I might bump it.
So we're talking about budgets now. We're talking about people who likely have maybe $40 of their 100 original. So you're talking about maybe $20 on the free agent blind bidding.
Everybody's different, right? Yeah. There are guys, I got guys in my league who have 90% of their cap left right now, and I got others who have like $2.
Yeah.
So every league's different.
It's really difficult. Like it totally depends on where you're sitting and with free agent money as well. I don't want to blow $50 if I have 58 left on Alfred Morris right now, even if I'm the Zeke owner.
Yeah, we're talking about your remaining cap.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, although it's relative, some people's remaining cap is still a lot of money.
Yeah.
But we're generally talking about that. So you gave us a numeric answer. You gave a workaround. What is, if you owned Zeke, what are you paying on Alfred Morris?
In an $100 cap league, maybe $20.
All right, so you don't feel like the handcuff's that important?
No. I've never been a handcuff guy, though.
Well, yeah, and there's a good case to be made for just, I don't play the handcuff game. I'd rather have guys who can actually help my team. And that's totally valid.
The handcuff game handcuffs you from making good trades in a lot of situations. You basically are tied with two roster spots to one guy, mm-hmm. and I think it hinders some good trading aspects.
All right, so if you don't have Zeke, what are you looking at?
What did I say?
You said 50 to 60.
No, on that on the article,
on your article up at League Safe Post, you said 30 to 40%.
I'm leaning more towards the 30 side of that. I mean, what would Zeke get? Two games if he's suspended?
Up to six. It seems to be the consensus that it could go as high as six games.
Man.
If he missed six games, Alfred Morris.
That's the season.
Alfred Morris turns into this year's David Johnson. Maybe. I mean, you know, six games from now, you know, we're deep in the fantasy playoffs, so it's week 15, and he's just powered teams through and into the playoffs.
So here's the problem with the whole thing is Dak Prescott has looked as good as Ezekiel Elliott has kind of made him look. So if Zeke's gone, maybe that offense completely changes. Maybe Dak ends up losing the job after a week or two to a now healthy Tony Romo, and maybe everything's different, and they're passing a lot more. So I don't want to spend so much money on Alfred Morris just on the chance that Zeke might go down, because the offense could completely change in 2 to 3 weeks, and we don't know.
Yeah, I don't think that's a likely scenario. I think the more likely scenario is running behind a really good offensive line. Alfred Morris will be productive at 80% of what Zeke was, because Zeke's pretty special and Alfred really isn't. But he'll take, you know, what that offensive line gives him, and that's going to be pretty good numbers.
There were a lot of running backs last season that were running behind a really good offensive line in Dallas that didn't amount to anything. So,
well, actually, Darren McFadden was tragically plausible in fantasy. Yeah. I mean,
the
you know,
Darren McFadden that Matt bet us would have more carries than Ezekiel Elliott this year.
Yes, that's right. Exactly. You can pay that one off now.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. All right, let's move on. It's a lot of time on one guy. Let's spend some time on Darren Sproles, your favorite pickup of the week, and you and I feel very differently
here,
about.
Here we go.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah. There we go.
Thank you.
You want a down payment on the
$1 IRS unreported income? $1 right here, baby. Darren Sproles, you've got a. How much are you recommending for blind bidding on Darren Sproles in the article?
If you need a running back, I think you go 50 to 60%. Why not?
I'll give you plenty of reasons why not.
Ryan Matthews is bad. He's been on skating on thin ice since preseason. They've been saying he's not a fit for the system. 8 snaps last week? I don't know, man. And Wendell Smallwood, he had one good week, and that was when Matthews was injured. Sproles is going to be on the field for the majority of the snaps amongst running backs. I feel like the wide receivers are underperforming. He's averaging almost 4.5 yards per carry, can catch the ball. PPR formats, he's definitely a better ad, but I don't know. I mean, he could be the starter moving forward. And say you own Spencer Ware, took a flyer on Jamal Charles. You own Ezekiel Elliott, maybe he goes down. I don't know. There's not a lot of starting running backs out there, and Sproles might be one moving forward. So
yeah, he's no workhorse. We got 12-ish years of data. What's he been in the league? 12, 14 years, something like that, of data that says he's not a workhorse back. Yeah, he just, you know, he had 20 touches last week, but we all know that that's fluky, and this is an offense that changes running backs all the time and uses them in all different ways. And I think you're only guaranteed with Sproles something like the 4 or 5 receptions that he gets virtually every game.
I think the way that the Eagles are playing offense this year, avoiding that entire offense altogether, you're winning if you're just avoiding the Eagles altogether.
I'm with you. I'm not touching this, and especially not your dollar amount. Darren Sproles to me on the waiver wire is 10-15% and only in PPR leagues. I mean, you know, I just
he's only available in less than half. So if he's available, he'll go for more than that. So that is basically avoiding it, I think.
All right, but you know who is available? Tim Hightower is available in just about every league, and he's got San Francisco coming up, and they're 5.1 yards per carry allowed. This is the worst run defense in the NFL, and may end up being they're on pace to be the worst run defense of all time. Tim Hightower, even if they go to the shared backfield that Sean Payton says they're going to use with Mark Ingram, he could be an RB1 this week.
Oh, yeah.
Did Tim Hightower spend any time in San Francisco?
No. Arizona.
It's been a long storied career for Tim Hightower, I know. But, yeah, it's definitely a good matchup for him this week. But could Mark Ingram factor in?
Well, I think he will. I think Ingram's going to get back on the field in some capacity. They tried to give Hightower a bunch of goal line carries last week, and they all failed miserably. Because the one thing that offense doesn't do is give the ball to Mark Ingram near the stripe under any circumstance, it seems. So they tried Hightower. That didn't work. But, again, this is a great matchup. All right, what are you bidding on Tim Hightower?
Again, if you're
the Ingram owner,
you got a bit higher. Ingram owner, 40-50%. Or he's dropping Ingram.
I don't know that you can drop him
either. Sabotage drop Ingram.
Yeah, you might sabotage drop him.
So
Give me a percentage.
I probably won't bid anything on Tim Hightower because I feel it's a 1 week take a chance on me style thing. If you need him for this week and this week alone, sure, couple bucks here or there. But I don't see long lasting value in Tim Hightower unless Mark Ingram is out of the picture.
That's I think that's the most likely scenario, is that we're in some kind of a goofy shared backfield deal. Although we saw Tim Hightower. But
they're going in opposite directions.
They're trending in opposite directions for the moment. You know, we were saying that about Jordan Howard 2 days ago.
Well, Hightower was a beast last year at the end of the year when Ingram got hurt. So if he gets that opportunity, I don't see why he can't do that again in a high power.
But Ingram's
offense.
Not hurt.
He's not hurt, but he's
the wrinkle in
looking
all this.
Very bad. He might as well be hurt. I think if you're an Ingram owner and you're counting on him as a RB2 or a flex player, you got to go get Hightower. I mean, because if he goes down and you're down a running back.
You're recommending a 50 to 60% budget on Hightower in your article.
I thought I edited that to 40 to 50.
You may have. Maybe I've got an earlier version. That's still super aggressive.
This is the time you're going to sit around and twiddle your thumbs. You might not spend your money at all.
I mean, but I got
can't
a lot
take
of
it
options
with
this week. Yeah. I can't take it with me. I got a lot of options this week, including Charcandrick West. Right now.
Now we're talking.
Right now, I think you can flat out drop Jamal Charles. Just give up on Charles.
Yeah.
You know, you don't go fly to Atlanta to see Dr. James Andrews because you've got pink eye. Mm-hmm. You do it because your knee is not coming around the way it's supposed to. I don't see a scenario where he is a bell cow runner for the Chiefs this year.
Ever
and maybe
again.
Never again. Maybe never again. So I think you dump Charles and you go pick up Charcandrick West, who could be your starter this week because Spencer Ware is in the concussion protocol.
Yeah, that's one that actually interests me a little
bit. Why
does
this one interest you more?
Well, if Spencer Ware's concussion lingers a little bit and mm-hmm. he's out 2-3 weeks, then you have a running back who's available as a starter because there's nobody else there. Niall Davis is gone to the Packers and now on the street again.
Yeah.
And so Charcandrick West could actually be a starting running back, and he
but
has
for
been
how long?
Before.
Depends on concussion, right?
We got a couple weeks, maybe.
Well, no, we don't even know this week.
We
Spencer Ware probably is your starting running back.
Yeah,
this
but
week.
If you're a Spencer Ware owner, this is the guy you want backing him up.
Yeah,
people were spending a lot of money on Jamal Charles and in your drafts and that kind of thing. And this room snuffed it out really early.
Really, yeah.
That it was going to be Spencer Ware.
Yeah,
and that was the wrong choice. I think Charcnado is the guy you back him up with.
Let's go to Rob Kelly. You've got a very contrarian angle on Kelly that I'm kind of buying into. There's going to be a lot of people putting a lot of money on Rob Kelly after the London game. Scored a touchdown. I didn't think he looked special, but, you know, he did score. And so there's people that he's definitely on radars right now. Tell me why you're lukewarm on Rob Kelly.
Well, you can't use him this week. He's on a bye.
He's on a bye this week.
That could give Matt Jones time to get out of the doghouse. Excuse me. And their schedule is awful afterwards from
Minnesota,
a running back's perspective.
Green Bay, Dallas, Arizona, Philadelphia. Those are not plus starts in any of them.
No. And
Minnesota might be at this point.
Well, you got to give the Vikings a little more credit at home, I would think. This is good home field advantage. I don't know if that's a home game or a road game for Washington.
That is a home game for Washington.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that helps them a little bit. But Washington's a throw-first team. We all know that. And they're incredibly inefficient in the red zone, throwing or running. Kelly did score last week from the goal line. But I still think they're not going to give up on Jones entirely unless mm-hmm. he continues to fumble, which is very well a chance. But I think people are just going to overpay. And once you get Kelly on roster, you're going to look at your matchup every week moving forward and be like, ugh, this isn't a good matchup. I don't know if I want to play him.
Let's go to the wide receiver position. J.J. Nelson's going to be a hot target. Your new starting receiver, Michael Floyd's been injured, inconsistent, and now demoted. J.J. Nelson is fast, fast, fast. His combine was a 4.28 40. That
doesn't even seem real.
That doesn't seem real. I mean, you know, that's Olympic, you know, track star level speed. He was targeted 19 times the last 2 weeks and ended up with two touchdowns last week.
Pause a little bit and talk about the brilliant take a chance on me call of J.J. Nelson last week for this guy right here.
Oh, you've been on fire.
You guys
you've
been
have on
some
fire.
Good calls too. Well, we all nailed the receiver.
Actually, we all hammered our take-homs last week.
C.J. Fedorowicz.
C.J. Fedorowicz. That's right. I got Mohamed Sanu in. I got Dak Prescott with 3 touchdowns in. That was we had a good week.
Yeah, we are good.
We're so good. J.J. Nelson.
He's
so
never had
an
opportunity.
Nelson.
Sorry to interrupt. J.J. Nelson. He's never had a chance to play, and when he has, he's had 3 games with 6-plus targets. And he's pretty much gone off in every one. So moving forward, I mean, given the opportunities, he could be a wide receiver too, possibly.
Right.
He could jump over John Brown. He might have already.
I think he already is.
Yeah.
I'd rather him than John Brown.
It's Fitz and Nelson. So, yeah. He's all a great ad.
Let's go to the tight end. You mentioned C.J. Fedorowicz. Is this a long-term play, or is this a one-week wonder?
I think the targets have been there for him, so I don't think it's quite a one-week wonder, but he's probably one of those guys who you're looking at in a plus matchup only, and you're looking at as probably the 13th or 14th tight end in a league, so a bye week fill-in, that kind of guy. So I like him in a really good matchup, like last week against Detroit. I don't know if I'd want to be starting him against some tougher
defenses.
Now he
gets Jacksonville this week.
Okay, that's good.
Then he gets Oakland.
That's all right.
All right. San Diego. I just happened to look up their tight end stats. They're middle of the pack tight end. Green Bay, Indianapolis, Jacksonville. That's pretty easy run for C.J. Fedorowicz.
Nice. I think they're on bye this week.
They're
on bye this week, so you can't use them right away. But, yeah, over the last 4 weeks, he has been a tight end one. The problem is there's a couple other tight ends, Ryan Griffin and some other dude that are stealing some targets. But tight ends are – the offense runs through the tight ends in Houston because Brock Osweiler can't throw downfield very accurately. But I like Fedorowicz moving forward.
It'd be a good situation if you could identify that schedule with Fedorowicz and go, okay, I'm going to grab C.J. Fedorowicz, and if I have a more lucrative tight end on my roster, try to trade that to upgrade somewhere else.
Let's go to the quarterback position. Jay Cutler just got done dissecting the Vikings offense or defense, excuse me. That it is interesting in and of itself, but more interesting, as you point out in the free agency article on League Safe Post, the schedule is extremely favorable over the next 6 weeks.
They're bye this week, though.
They're on bye this week.
But after,
This is a lot of guys on bye that we're picking up this week.
Well, but you pay less. You pay so much less.
We hope so.
After the bye, Tampa Bay. Then the Giants, that's a tougher matchup.
That's the one.
Then Tennessee, which is a pretty easy matchup. San Francisco is a very easy matchup. Then you're at Detroit. Slay will be back by then, but even teams are still throwing all over him. And then Green Bay, and if that secondary is not right, even by then, which is possible, who knows? So, you know, Jay Cutler is a low-end, flex quarterback, two-quarterback league guy makes sense. You don't have to pay much for him.
Yeah, but yeah, with Alshon Jeffrey, if he stays healthy, Zach Miller, Cameron Meredith has emerged. I guess Jordan Howard is back to being the man. Yeah, he's got weapons, so he's a little intriguing.
There's a lot more guys that we did not talk about over the course of this program, but you can read all about with our free agency article and get all the details on. We encourage you to go to League Safe Post for that, the full list of free agency recommendations. Tomorrow we'll be back in the panic room.
Oh,
I think, who's up?
It's me.
It's you. You're up.
I'm relegated.
I'm a little scared this time. The panic level is rising as we get nearer.
Yeah, that could be because you're a Viking fan. Panic level's awfully just high here right in Minnesota. Maybe that's part of it.
It's not CP's birthday tomorrow, at least, so you don't have to deal
with it. That's right.
No birthday bonus.
But it's the one-week anniversary of CP's birthday.
That's right. That might count for a little extra love.
It could. I hope not. I hope you can be fair about this, Charge.
I'll do my best to be objective, and it may or may not work. Thank you for joining us. So back tomorrow for the Panic Room. Stay tuned to that. You can follow us on Twitter at Explosive Output, at BTXJ, and at Paul Charchian. We'll see you tomorrow.